Blog Talk Radio.
Like request, our flight attendants be seated at this time. We're landing in about 1 minute. Thank you.
It's the CJ Sweat Show presented to you on Blog Talk Radio. All of our guests will appear via the guest reports hotline. We are presented to you on Blog Talk Radio. We're also presented to you by Wilkinson Weekly. Want to throw those guys out there. If you haven't yet, go visit WilkinsonWeekly.net, one of the best blogs in all of Web of Sports, a great blog with all the news and updates going on in the Wilkinson world. Recruiting is there, coaching is there. Lots of great stuff, so go visit them today. And it, by the way, exciting news will be coming at the end of this season. I think you'll be all geared up for it. I've been working with another member who does a lot of media stuff already with Wilkinson, and we're working on bringing you something that I think is going to be a much fresher experience, and it's going to make things a lot simpler. But I want to wait until the end of the season. I'm going to tease you a little bit. I'm going to wait till the end of the season to really give you all the details on that. But as fun as this is, it's going to get even better. I can guarantee you that. It's going to be a lot more fun, a lot more smoother, a lot more easier and user-friendly. Today's show won't be as long. I'm going to cut it off at 6:30. The reason is because I'm actually going to Virginia Beach this evening with my wife. We're taking off, going to Virginia Beach. We got a long road trip ahead. I love doing the show, but it's kind of something I have to get out of the way tonight. Not that I don't like doing it, I do, but it's going to be a quick show. So instead of me blabbering on about that, I'm going to get to the real stuff that you guys care about. We're going to start off with 1AA. Guys, this has been exactly what I thought it would be. Okay, this has been exactly what I thought it would be. We have had it's been upset galore in 1AA. Let me cut over here. Here on my tab. So Tennessee Tech's got a loss. Coastal Carolina's got a loss. Holy Cross today, the team I ranked number two to start off the season, they got beat by Duquesne. Duquesne is absolutely for real. Jacksonville State has played a few close games. They played at Villanova, and they were down 7-3 at the half. Ended up winning 32-7. Today they played Mississippi Valley State. They were down there 17-14. So they've been the comeback kids so far this season, and they remained 5-0. I don't know, though, if that's going to continue. And I love Coach James, and I love Jacksonville State. But you watch what's going on right now at 1AA. Things are wide open, exactly as I predicted they would be. I think that this season's playoff, I think there are several teams that are going to contend for it. Ultimately, I think the team that wins it will be the team that has the most endurance, and I don't mean like a skill rating, like the durability skill rating or whatever. I mean, you're going to have to find a team that is built for the playoffs. You're going to have to find a team that's multidimensional. So these one-dimensional teams that have, you know, a really good quarterback but no running back and no receivers, or a really good running back and nothing else, that team's not going to fly. The teams that will win are the teams who are balanced and can beat you multiple ways. With that said, you're going to see, I think, some big-time upsets in the first round of playoffs this season. And we're seeing a preview of it right now in the regular season. I don't think if Duquesne plays Holy Cross 10 times or 100 times, Duquesne necessarily wins the majority of those games. But can Duquesne beat Holy Cross once? Yeah. Could Duquesne beat Jacksonville State once? Yeah, and that's all it would really take in the playoffs is, can you beat that team one time?
And I think there's a lot of teams that have the capacity to do that. And we're going to see, I think a one seed is going to get knocked out in the first round. I don't think we're going to have all four one seeds past the second round. And I think there's a good chance that we won't have a one seed in the second round. I think playoffs are going to be that crazy. We're seeing it now. We saw Jacksonville. They got upended by Jacksonville State, and then they immediately responded and beat Tennessee Tech. I think it's quite possible Tennessee Tech will go and beat Jacksonville State. This is how this thing's going to go down, and the winner of it all is going to be the team with the most versatility. You're going to have to win multiple ways. I think there's a handful of teams that can do it. I'll give you a list of those teams. And there's more, but these are the teams that I've kind of got my eye on. Jacksonville State, obviously, they are the most talented team. Make no mistake about that. They have the most talent out there, but they may not necessarily win this thing. Holy Cross, I still think, great team, very balanced. They could win. I would throw Texas Southern in there. Northern Iowa certainly could win. Coastal Carolina could win this thing. I'll give you a team I wasn't really thinking about, but now I'm looking at them and going, yeah, they could do it. Alabama A&M. I ranked them 15th to start the season. Alabama A&M is good enough to make a run. They absolutely are. I think now you could throw Duquesne into that list. Duquesne's got a good team. Morgan State is a little bit iffy for me, but go ahead. I like UMass as well. I'm not too high in Columbia. Eastern Kentucky, I think, could make a legitimate run. I don't think they're going to win this whole thing. There was a Big Sky team I was thinking of that I definitely could see doing it. I like Cal Poly at the start of the season. I'm not too high on them right now, not with those two losses. I was never high on Southeast Missouri, and that's not because of Osball. That's just simply because I didn't like the way that team's organized. I don't see one piece on that team that's like, yeah, that's going to make you really complicated to beat. I think they're difficult. Sure, they could pull off a first-round upset, but when we're talking about a long-term playoff run, I don't see it. I'll give you one team nobody's talking about that I think could make a legitimate run. And this is a bit of a surprise for you guys, but I like Texas State. They played an incredible game with Mississippi Valley State. Ended up just losing it by a touchdown at the end of the game, but they were right up in it until the last minute. Now, they did play Eastern Kentucky. They were knocked off, but that was because of a strong second half by Pete. Pete's known for that. I think Texas State is a surprise. Could be a surprise team this season. Mississippi Valley State's very good. Jacksonville, I think, is interesting, but I don't know that they are necessarily built for a deep playoff run either. So, listen, there's some teams that look really, really good right now on paper. I don't know that they're built for a run. And if you're going to win this thing, you're going to have to be built to run the ball, to pass the ball, to beat teams multiple ways. You cannot be a one-dimensional team and win this thing. But listen, I think it's going to be an incredible playoff. I think the season has just been a preview for what we're going to see in the playoffs, which is going to be a lot of upsets. I think there's going to be some non-traditional teams, and I think we're going to see a power knocked off very early on. And maybe if you're ever going to see a new coach make a run at it, this could definitely be the season. 1AA is just going to be fun. On to 1A, where I think it's been an interesting season so far. It's been kind of what I thought it would be. There's maybe more undefeated teams than I anticipated. But I think as conference play kicks in, a lot of those teams will get weeded out. One, and listen, guys, I'm going to take a picture of the West standings tonight because it's not going to happen for a very long time. I'm ranked first in 1A. It will be done by tomorrow. I play Texas tomorrow, so we're done. Two people ranked me in the top 10. I was not one of them. And I told one of the coaches who actually ranked me kind of high, I told him, I was like, Listen, thanks for putting me up there, but you're not getting any brownie points for doing so. And listen, I just think it's one of those things, and to be fair of my own criticism, I don't think my team is quite cut out to be a top 10 program right now. I think we've had a decent season beating East Carolina. Now that game, if you want to go see an exciting game, go look at that finish because my opponent managed to recover not one, not two, but three consecutive onside kicks. I ended up winning by 10, but if you've ever been nervous, listen, I was sweating coming down to the end of that game. Had another close game yesterday against Stanford, had them down by 18 at the half. They came back, ended up winning by a touchdown, like 45 to 38 or something. And I just think, you know, one day my offense will be on, the next day my defense will be on, but they don't seem to really click together at the same time for whatever reason. And I just don't think I've got much of a chance against Texas tomorrow. And I know that's a bit of a defeated attitude, but it's okay. My team's really about a season away from being really competitive. My quarterback's a junior. My running back's a junior. My best wide receiver is a freshman. My best offensive back's a junior. My best linebacker's a junior. So next season, we could be really competitive. This season, I think we're staring at two losses, which are going to be to Texas and Nebraska. No, it's not a season to shug at, but I mean, being ranked first, it's not at this stage in the game. It's just not a big deal. I'll tell you this: when we did the media poll the other day, and I got all the results, there were only three teams that received one votes, and I'll start putting the number one votes on the list because people have said they'd be interested in seeing it. But the only three teams that received number one votes were Florida, Texas, USC. Nobody else got a number one vote. And those three teams, I think all of them received like, I don't think anybody received more than two, and then one maybe only received one. But like everybody likes Florida. And that was a team that at the start of the season I ranked eighth. Listen, I completely underrated that team. They are incredible. They've played a very good season so far. Now, my thought on Florida going into the season was they've got a very good defense, but I think their offense is going to limit them. I couldn't have been any more wrong on that. Their lowest scoring game of the season was 35 to 28. They've scored at least 40 in three different games, at least 50 in two different games. And then the lowest scoring game, they scored 35 points in, and that was against Florida State. So I thought the team would be very good defensively, not so good offensively. I couldn't have been more wrong. Now, what I will say about Florida as we head into the rest of the season is they've played five humans so far, okay, in non-conference play. All five have been humans. They play five consecutive human teams again, right? So they're going to end up playing 10 consecutive human teams. On their list, on the remaining games, they have LSU, Alabama, Tennessee, and Arkansas, who's not easy either. And Georgia's actually got some talent, believe it or not. That team's actually starting to come around. I like Florida. They probably are deserving to make the championship game, but there's no way they're going to go 10 consecutive games against human teams and be undefeated. They're losing at least one game in this next stretch. They've had a great season so far. I love what Potter's done, but they are not getting through these next five games undefeated. I just don't see it. They might even lose tomorrow. And I love Florida. They might even lose two games over this next five-game stretch. And it's nothing against Florida. I just think this is an incredibly difficult schedule. And even if you've got the best team, even if you're a good game planner, it's so difficult the game plan for 10 consecutive games. So these sim teams where you've got a game plan set up and you just throw it in and this is my sim plan and you just, you know, you put that in there. You don't get that. You can't do that when you're playing 10 straight home games. And every once in a while, as much fun as this game is, it's nice to just have a night off where you can kind of throw in your game plan for sims. And Potter's not going to be able to do that. So I think it's going to be a grind. Ironically, it ends with Coach Grindy at Tennessee. So if that's indicative of how this is going to be. I'm telling you, I don't see them getting through it undefeated. Now, what I do see, you look at USC, they got through those first five games undefeated. That, to me, was the toughest part of their schedule. They got through Notre Dame, won in double overtime. We got through LSU, won by a touchdown, beat Maryland by a touchdown, beat Michigan by a touchdown. So next, toughest games remaining, California, that's winnable. They should beat Arizona, even though they're good. Stanford, new coach. That team, although they're talented, they're having kind of a first-season struggle. And then they get a UCLA team that's down at the end of the season. USC guys, I think they're going undefeated. And they're already ranked fourth. So worst case scenario, I think they go into conference championships ranked fifth. And I think that conference championship game, an undefeated team, I think USC is going to be in the championship game. Now, I could be wrong, but I think they're getting in there. Now, the other team I said would get in, Minnesota. I think I still would contend that this team gets in because two things can happen. One, they could go undefeated, which I think is a legitimate possibility. Secondly, even if they lose to Notre Dame tomorrow, they play Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan rest of the season. Okay, Ohio State has a first-season coach in Mike 1400, who's a good coach, but he's even mentioned in the chat that there's been a bit of a learning curve and that team, or he's still adjusting with that team. So it's hard when you're implementing game plans and everything like that to really find out the groove of your team and to get that team operating how you want them to. I don't think they're going to go up against a experienced coach and an experienced team like Minnesota and get the win there. Not to mention Ohio State is down from last season. So although they're having a great season, I think Minnesota will win that. Now, Michigan State's going to be a little tough, but I don't think Michigan State matches up in terms of talent with Minnesota. So I think Minnesota wins that. And then Michigan, I think is down, way down, even down for Fortune. For Fortune to save that Michigan job, he's going to have to win out the rest of the season, and I don't see it. So Minnesota, with the exception of tomorrow, will be favored. I, in my opinion, favored in the rest of their games. They very well could go undefeated. Even if they end up being a one-loss team, they'll get the Big Ten championship, which I think they can win. So I still like my early season championship prediction of Minnesota versus USC. Now, I am starting to like Texas a little bit more to CFB fans' demise. I do like Texas. However, Texas last season lost to Oklahoma State. They are going to have to get through Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma the rest of the season. Now, they should be favored in the rest of those games, but that's still five competitive games. And could they slip up once? Yeah. And if they slip up once, I think Texas's championship hopes are done. Even if they go undefeated, there's still the underlying chance that Minnesota and USC go undefeated. So this 1A championship, I think, is pretty wide open. Tennessee's in the mix. Rutgers has had an excellent season. They're in the mix. Michigan State's still in the mix. Penn State is in the mix. There's a lot of teams still kind of in this thing. Now, I like Notre Dame, but they've got a loss. Auburn, I don't think, is going undefeated. Central Florida, I don't think, has a legitimate chance. Boston College does. Texas A&M, I think, is going to lose, as will Georgia. So, again, some of these undefeated teams, they're going to filter each other out throughout the season and throughout conference play. There are a lot of undefeated teams right now, but I would be willing to bet in 3 weeks there will not be. 3 games from now, there's not going to be nearly as many undefeated teams. So I think 1A is going to be interesting. I still pick USC to take on Minnesota in the championship game. That's still where I'm at. Now, Tampa Flaw says he thinks UConn's going to take out Rutgers. I've been very impressed with UConn so far. I think that's an incredible team. However, I think – and listen, I had Rutgers ranked at the start of the season. I had them ranked ninth. Had them rated highest among the Big East teams. Now, the reason I didn't rank them higher than ninth is because I was pretty much looking at Rutgers, UConn, and Pitt and saying all three of these teams are essentially the same. I need to wait and see how they kind of filter out. Now, I think Rutgers has emerged as the best team right now out of the Big East. They beat Stanford, beat Wyoming, beat California. Those are three solid wins, despite what the records may indicate. They play Cincinnati tomorrow. I think they'll win that. I think they'll be favored going into that game with UConn. And I like UConn, but I think Rutgers is the better team. I think Logan W. is maybe has a bit of an advantage in terms of matchups with coaching. Not that Douglas isn't a good coach. He is. But sometimes you kind of have your coach. It's a bit of your Achilles heel. And I think Logan W. is that for UConn or for Douglas. So I think Rutgers is going to take that game. I do think Rutgers is a legitimate threat, but you look at this thing, if USC and Minnesota both go undefeated, I think they're going to play each other in the championship game. And to me, they have the best chances of going undefeated, which is why I put them in there in the first place. Now, I ranked Alabama first to start the season, said they would lose, though, and they wouldn't make the championship game. They do already have that one loss. They lost to Texas 52-26. Did not see that coming. And I like Texas, but I didn't like them as much as Alabama. To me, Alabama was the best team in the country. I didn't see them losing by that many points. And I think they've got at least one more loss on their schedule when you look at the rest of this SEC. So listen, the SEC, the Big Ten, they're just gauntlets. The Big 12 and Pac 12 aren't necessarily that. Neither is the Big East. So you look at those Big Ten SEC teams, there's a lot of undefeated teams now, but I just don't see that being the case when we get to week 13. There's going to be a bunch of one-loss teams in this thing. I don't think, as much as I like USC and Minnesota, you can't say those teams are locked in. USC could slip up. Minnesota could lose the game. Minnesota might even lose tomorrow to Notre Dame. So this thing, it's still very, very open, which is what I said it would be at the start of the season. And what we're seeing is what we see every season on 1A, and that is scheduling has the biggest impact. You have to schedule well. I will switch things over to 1AA. My friend Hitman at Southern Illinois having a bit of a – he's struggling this season. I mean, just he is. There's no getting around it. I think he is 2-3 on the season. Now, they did beat Texas Southern, but when we're looking at borderline playoff teams, and I'll mention a few here, look at borderline playoff teams. You're going to have to play Northern Iowa, Southeastern Louisiana, Youngstown State, Western Kentucky. Now, they'll win at least one of those games. I think they will beat Western Kentucky. I think that's the weaker team of the bunch. I think they've got a good chance to beat Southeastern Louisiana, but I think Northern Iowa is going to run them over. And again, that's no discredit to Hitman. It's just a young team. They're not ready yet. I think Northern Iowa will run them over, as will Youngstown State. The other two games I think are toss-ups. But listen, if Southern Illinois loses three of those games, which they could, if they lose three of those games, I don't know that team gets in the playoffs. To me, they are right there on the bubble. They've got a lot of work left to do. I like that team, but you look at them, and you look at how they're going to struggle to get into playoffs. Imagine if they get into playoffs. All of a sudden, if you are a one seed, let's say you're Alabama A&M, you get into playoffs as the one seed, Southern Illinois gets 8 seed, and let's say you two match up against each other. That's your 8 seed. Southern Illinois. That's not an easy 8 seed. Southern Illinois is a perennial power in 1AA. I don't care if they struggle throughout the season. That's a perennial power with a good coach. This is what the 1AA playoffs are going to look like, guys. They're going to be it's going to be a complete mess. I almost would rather be a 3 seed having to face off with a 6 seed than be a 1 seed and having to face off with an 8 seed that's got a really good coach and just struggled in a couple of big games. San Diego, I think, is an interesting team with a new coach. Not necessarily a new coach. He's been there for a little bit now. But they were crushed by Holy Cross. They were crushed by Northern Arizona. I don't know that they can get in. They struggled in 2 sim games, technically 3. So I'm not too high on San Diego getting in. I think, to me, I would circle that team as another bubble team. Eastern Illinois, to me, they're in. They're a lock. Northern Arizona, I think they're a lock. Drake is a lock. Valparaiso, this has been maybe the big surprise so far this season. Now, they did lose to a sim team, so take it for what it's worth. But they did beat Towson today. That's a decent win. In my mind, you look at this schedule, they've got three winnable games. Morehead State, Butler, San Diego, three winnable games against human teams. They'll win both of their sim games. So that's five more wins, in my opinion. Valparaiso's looking like a nine-win team. And if their losses are to Coastal, Jacksonville, and Drake, and then their other losses, they did lose to that sim team. But if those are their four losses, I think Valparaiso's a lock. So Valparaiso's a team that I think Yatzer is doing as good of a job as he's going to do with that team. But I think they're a team to look out for. This is the type of matchup. So if we get down to the last week and you're getting a Valpo team that went 9-4 and a Southern Illinois team that went 7-6, I think this Valpo team will get the nod over Southern Illinois. So these are a lot of things to be considering, is which team is better prepared to get in. And I think there's going to be a lot of interesting kind of comparison between teams that get in and teams that don't get in. And you look at a team like Valpo with a new coach making a strong run, strong, surprising run. That type of run could knock out what you would consider a perennial power. I liked Cal Poly going into the season a lot. I don't think I ranked them in my top 15. However, they weren't far off. They're 3-2 to start off the season. Their losses are to Coastal and to Tennessee Tech. They did beat Southeast Missouri. That's a good win. But listen, if this team loses to Texas State and Northern Arizona, which are two formidable opponents, now Cal Poly becomes this bubble team, and could they get knocked off by Valpo? So that's what's going to come down, is you're going to have this team who at the start of the season looked like every bit of a lock, and now all of a sudden they're 9-4 with some questionable losses, and we get to the selection thing, and they're going to get knocked off. They're not going to get in. So I think there's some really interesting scenarios playing out here, and really the key to getting into the 1AA playoffs is going undefeated right now. Like Sam Houston State, they're 5-0. You look at this schedule. I'll pull this up here. You look at the schedule. Worst case scenario in my mind, Sam Houston State's going to go 11-2. They go 11-2, guys. They're in playoffs. That's a team at the start of the season I didn't necessarily think could get there, and I think they could beat Texas State or Northern Arizona. They go 11-2 because they beat a bunch of sim teams. And now they would get a nod over Southern Illinois. So this thing, listen, I know it sounds complicated, but that's because it is complicated. This thing is a complete mess in 1AA, and you're going to have a lot of good teams miss out on playoffs, or you're going to end up with a lot of good teams getting these 6, 7, and 8 seeds, and now all of a sudden a 1, 2, or 3 seed is going to be matched up with what would, in a previous year, be like a quarterfinal matchup. They're going to see that first round. That is how crazy this thing's getting. And the more coaches that come into 1AA, which the numbers are continuing to improve, the more coaches that come into 1AA, the more packed this gets, and the harder it's going to be in that first and that second round, and the more of a gauntlet this is going to become. I think it's going to be really interesting, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of really fun teams and fun coaches to watch. I think there's probably about 10 to 12 teams with a legitimate chance to make a run at it. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, so it is 6:29. So I am going to go ahead and get off here. Again, I had to switch counts today. I'm doing the thing where I can keep it free as long as I can, which involves me creating new accounts every 30 days, but it works. They haven't told me I can't do it yet, so I'm just going to keep doing it. Otherwise, I'm paying $100 a month, and I don't really want to do that. So because I switched to a new account, the closing music is actually going to be the introductory music, and it ends really awkwardly because it ends where I wanted to cut the sound off, which is early on in the song. So I do apologize for that. But I do want to thank all of you guys for joining us here today. Don't forget to visit the Wilkinson Weekly blog. Also, don't forget to pay attention to the media poll. If you are a voter in that media poll, you need to get me your votes by 10 o'clock tomorrow night. I need those votes. You've got until 10 tomorrow to get me your votes. After that, guys, count me off. Made one exception a few days ago. Not doing that anymore. So you got to get me your votes by 10 so I can get them in the forum. And make sure to pay attention to the media poll. I think it's been a lot of fun to see what other guys think of these teams. And by the way, guys, we've got the best blogs. We really do. We've got a Big Sky blog. We've got an A10 blog. We've got Wilkinson Weekly. Guys, this thing is just getting to be an absolute blast. If it keeps up, who knows? I may start covering D2. Don't get your hopes up. Everybody needs to move to 1AA. So none of you guys move back down, okay? That was not an invitation to move back down. Stay at 1AA. That's where the action is. The D2 thing's a maybe. It's like months and months and months off. All right, guys. I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. This is the CJ Sweat Show.
Like request, our flight attendants be seated at this time. We're landing in about 1 minute. Thank you.